7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are going to be talking about a lot of stuff today. Got a lot of stuff to go through. But again, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. You guys can hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. And also, do yourselves a favor, win that Le'Veon Bell jersey that we have going on right now. And also, one other thing is, you guys can always check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com. They do a bunch of articles, a bunch of good stuff on there. They put our podcast on the articles. So do yourselves a favor, check them out. And then also go to draftingsleepers.com. We're going to be talking about some guys that you should be taking later in drafts and some guys that you should be starting that you probably wouldn't be thinking about starting. So go to those couple places. Also, pristineauction.com. Go there. That's where we get a lot of our jersey stuff that we have. Got a lot of stuff going up in the man cave down here, so check out those three places. Do yourselves a favor. Let's go on with the show. We have a good one in store for you guys. We are going to be talking about some of the big news that is going on in the NFL. And let's start off with the Ezekiel Elliott news, because before we get to anything else, I want to start off with that. Tom, break the news down to us. What exactly is going on with Elliott? And what does that mean for fantasy football owners?
Ezekiel Elliott is scheduled to play this Sunday, so he will be available week one. Him and his legal team went to court today trying to get a temporary restraining order against the NFL to pretty much negate the suspension right now. And so he could pretty much play the whole year is what it would come down to. The same situation that Tom Brady did to the NFL 2 years ago. That information will come out Friday, but right now you can put Ezekiel Elliott in your lineup, and if he does not get the TRO, then it looks like that six-game suspension will be staying put.
This is huge news. Like Josh mentioned, since we are the premier fantasy football podcast on WBLZ, we made sure to call into our friends, our brothers, at 8-Bit Bros, make sure that it was broken accordingly, unlike any other fantasy podcast on this station. And it's monstrous. He's going to definitely play week one. And then potentially there's a six-game suspension in front of him. Odds are he's going to go full throttle into court, try to get it all reduced. And it's going to be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. No one really knows what's going to
happen. No, the only good thing for fantasy owners is it is a nightmare, but you're getting him for week one, and you're already prepared to not have him for an extended period of time anyway. So,
where would you end up drafting him in leagues? This is kind of a complicated matter. I've seen in multiple leagues where people still drafting them kind of high, late second round, early third round. Is that still pretty much where you're looking at drafting them?
That's still where I would be targeting him if I had drafts going on. I had a few drafts this weekend. I didn't get him in any league. He was going middle second, late second. But if you're drafting him, stock up on those running backs. But when you get him back, that's going to help your fantasy team in the playoffs tremendously.
This is not very fantasy relevant, but TJ Ward was cut by the Denver Broncos, signed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How huge is that for both sides?
It's going to help that defense out. We saw that the Tampa Bay DST come through last year. They were actually a startable unit. He's going to be used in big nickel situations and dimes. He's going to be able to help come lay the wood, help stop the run. That's something they struggled with last year. This is going to help the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out a lot.
It's going to be great. He's going to be one of those players playing with that fuck you attitude that we talk about often. He's going to come with a huge chip on his shoulder, and I think it's going to be a huge, huge factor for the Tampa Bay defense. Huge addition.
Bring some swagger.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We have some news going out of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have announced a new starting linebacker, and it is who, Tim?
TJ Watt.
And he is replacing who?
James Harrison. So James Harrison, apparently all the acupuncture therapy in the world cannot keep you around forever. I love it. I'm assuming that the Steelers are hoping being behind TJ Watt on the depth chart helps prolong James Harrison's year. You know, bring out that aggression for the snaps that he does play, because he's still going to play his. He's learning from one of the very best 3-4 offensive linebackers of all time. I mean, he has a huge guy in front of him to help him with that. And TJ Watt, obviously the brother of JJ, getting a big opportunity here. Start the season, week one, OLB on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a big deal.
Yeah, this is good news for Harrison. You know, he's going to come out when it's definitely past situations. He's just going to be able to pin his ears back, go after the quarterback. He'll probably play 2/3 less snaps total, so he'll probably be fresh all year. This is good for them. This is going to help that team out, especially in the playoffs when they need to get after Mr. Thomas Brady and those pesky New England Patriots.
Another couple things we have is Brock Osweiler. He is cut from the Cleveland Browns, and he re-signs with the Denver Broncos. Crazy.
It's interesting. I really don't have much to say. Brock Osweiler, I remember the first day he came out, they said he looked tall out there. That's all the Broncos really had to say. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
The Brossweiler is a very interesting individual. I guess he's going to make a ton of money for doing nothing, right? And he's going to go out there and get an opportunity. I know Trevor Siemian's the starter. Brock Osweiler is going to start for the Denver Broncos at some point this year. I guarantee that Brock Osweiler will start. John Elway loves Brock Osweiler. He does. He didn't want to let him go, but he didn't want to pay him the money. And now I believe the 8-Bit Bros were talking earlier about how, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, father-son mentality. Okay, you know, trying to reel him back in a little bit. Reel him in. Okay, son, you learned your lesson, right? Come on back. Get yourself in the system. No matter who starts, it'll be a QB competition every single week for the Denver Broncos.
We do have some other big news going on, and it is J.J. Watt. He has raised over $20 million now for the relief funds of Texas. What are your guys' thoughts on that? It's pretty crazy. A professional athlete like that raising over $20 million for one specific cause like that is really, really huge.
The whole story is absolutely just fantastic. What people can do, the fact that J.J. Watt put it together. Listen, what I hope people realize is a lot of these organizations out there that you donate to, like the Red Cross, a large part of that, I believe only 70%, go to the actual helping of people. You know, the CEO of the Red Cross or one of the higher-ups of the Red Cross had a salary of over $600,000 last year. This is why America sucks at times, because of this, you know, people taking advantage of terrible situations. You know, so you saw the Best Buy selling packs of water for like $64. You saw gas in certain parts of Houston at like $8.50. It's bullshit. I hope all those people die in a fire. Josh, I told you I wouldn't say that tonight, but I don't care. I do hope all those people die in a fire because I think it's absolutely bullshit. I love to make fun of people. I love to give people shit. But at the end of the day, when stuff like this happens, you have to come together. And J.J. Watt has proven that. One of the baddest sons of bitches on the planet, on the field and off the field, prove that. Props to J.J. Watt.
Thoughts, Tom?
It's just really good to see someone with the ability to do something like this actually do it. There's a lot of athletes that could have stepped up, a lot of big time athletes in the Houston area, and J.J. Watt was the man to step up and get this done. It's good to see a man that has the platform to do something like this get it accomplished.
Brings us next to our next topic here, and this is going to be before we actually make our predictions for week one for the NFL week one season. And it is the hurricane crap that is going on.
Hurricane Irma. And she sounds like a bitch, and she looks like one, too.
Yeah, crazy, crazy situations going on. You have Texas, now you have Hurricane Irma, and now, not saying that football is the most important thing in the world, because it is definitely not when a hurricane is going on like this. But the football game with the Dolphins and the Buccaneers may get pushed back, may get relocated, may get whatever. What's going on?
So let's start with the, Josh, exactly like you said, in the grand scheme of things, football needs to be put on the back burner. So people need to just understand that first and foremost, that at the end of the day, you hope someone is stepping in who's able to just do what's best for the people of Florida. With that being said, we're here to bring you fantasy aspects and football aspects. So, what does that mean? Right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Miami Dolphins, they were scheduled to play in Miami on Sunday. That is no longer happening. That is the only thing that is certain right now. People have said, why don't they do it on Thursday? Why don't they do it on Friday? Why don't they do it at a separate location? We have no idea which way this hurricane is going. It could move up the East Coast. It could move along the South Shoreline. It could go into New Orleans area. So, it's been rumored that New Orleans, what's New Orleans Stadium called? I can't remember off the top of my head, is one of the places that the game could be played. The Link, Philadelphia Stadium, has been rumored as one of the places it could be played. But since they don't know which way the storm is going, they don't want to make that decision. So right now, every single sign is pointing to week 11. Both teams have a scheduled bye week of week 11. Now, it would suck. Both teams would have to play 16 games in a row. It is not ideal in terms of football sense. But at the end of the day, football does need to be put on the back burner. And if logistically it doesn't make sense, it sucks most for the Dolphins. They already have a game in London this year. I know that there's revenue issues with them missing two actual home games in Miami. It's going to be rough.
No thoughts on that, Tom?
Not really. I just hope they play this week. I know you guys say put football on the back burner, but I'm not. There's a couple leagues, you know. I got Jaquizz Rodgers kind of needing him to start, and I want him to start because I think they're going to use and abuse him, and this will screw up Doug Martin. He'll come back a week later. I know, Josh, you got Mike Evans in a couple leagues, so I just really hope they find a way that they can get this game played on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I got Mike Evans and Jaquizz Rodgers going, so almost had Evans, Rodgers, and Devonta Parker. Thank God that didn't end up happening like I was planning. So let's go ahead. Let's move on to our picks for week one. And then if you guys are going to hopefully stay around for later on, we're going to be talking about some fantasy football breakdowns, positional forecasts, and then kind of tell you who we like, who we don't like, who we would pick to start, who we would stay away from. So let's go ahead and move on to our picks for this week. So, Tim, you want to start us off on the first couple games that we have, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Absolutely. So, whoever, we're going to throw it out there as well. If anybody wants to join our Pony Keg Pick'em here going up this season, you're more than welcome. Go ahead and just email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com, or message Josh on Twitter, ponykegsports, or at ponykegsports, at ponykegtim, or at ponykegtom, or on our Facebook page, and we will gladly get you in. That is no problem whatsoever. We're just trying to make sure to hold ourselves accountable here. So let's start with the first matchup here, the Kansas City Chiefs against the New England Patriots in New England. The Super Bowl champs have an opportunity here to face a very tough team, a tough defense. I'm going to take the New England Patriots week one.
I'm taking the Patriots as well. I don't think there's any way that they lose on a national stage like this. Tom Brady is going to be coming out hot. He's got all his weapons besides Julian Edelman, but it'll be exciting to see how Brandon Cooks, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Hogan all interact with Tom Brady, Mike Gillisley. It'll be nice to see how this running back backfield goes as well, but I cannot pick against the Patriots. They've just straight up reloaded.
Yeah, same thing here with Shanahan leaving. Or not Shanahan leave. I'm jumping ahead to the Knicks game already. I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, my God, I really want to pick the Falcons. But, no, with the Patriots here, as much as I like Travis Kelce and as much as I like Alex Smith looking for him time and time and time again, and the fact that Macklin is gone and you have Tyreek Hill, who is such a big playmaker, I just don't think they have enough firepower for the Patriots, even with the loss of Julian Edelman. We're really going to see the Tom Brady of Tom Brady's, and I think we're going to see a great performance by him. So, Patriots for me as well.
Clean sweep.
Do the Chiefs make it a game? Is it close?
No.
I think it'll be close in the first half, but I think the Patriots will take over after.
I agree with that.
Next up, we have the Falcons versus the Bears.
I really want to pick the Bears in this game.
Hey, there's a lot of people, ESPN 1000, yep, radio, a lot of people, they say, take the points, take them straight up. And I'm like, what is going on? And then the more and more that I look at it, I'm like, I really want to.
That's the Bears trap.
I know.
It's the Bears trap.
I feel like the Bears always, when they have no business to win games like this. It always seems like they do. I don't think they're a very good football team, but I think Jordan Howard is going to have some success, and I do think the Falcons are going to have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, but I can't pick against Atlanta. If I had some points with the Bears, I probably would, but we're just going head-to-head. I have to go with the Falcons on this one.
Listen, we talked about it pre-show. The Falcons had six draft picks in 2016. Five of those six players are returning starters for them this year. That's a huge, huge thing. It's exactly what every team wants. And if anything, Matt Ryan is playing with a chip on his shoulder. It's the same offense, minus Kyle Shanahan. It just means it's more of Matt Ryan's show. Matt Ryan gets to run it as he sees fit. Nothing changes. The Bears have a good run defense, but that doesn't change the fact that they have a terrible secondary, and their offense is going to struggle mightily. I have the Falcons winning handily, not even close, three touchdowns plus.
Next game, it's probably the game of the week. Got the New York Jets traveling to Orchard Park, playing the Buffalo Bills. I'm not interested in this game whatsoever. I will own a lot of LeSean McCoy's his shares, you know, in daily fantasy. But I'm going to go with the Bills. I think they're going to have a rough season, but I think the Jets are the worst team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I guess the only thing is that I would care to focus on in that game is Peterman going to be the starter? I don't think it's actually been officially announced yet, but it's looking potentially that way. I know Tyrod has cleared concussion protocol, but I think the Bills might want to wait it out 1 week. Who knows? But Peterman starting would be fun, in my opinion. And outside of that, I agree. I mean, you have guys like Zay Jones, like LeSean McCoy, like Matt Forte and Bilal Powell, who should have some fantasy impact. But outside of that, I don't like it at all. I am taking the New York Jets to upset and get the win over the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. That's a ballsy pick.
And that will be one of their two wins of the season. This is the time. This is the time for bad teams to win, week one.
Go ahead.
You know, if the coach was doing this, just like his show, he'd be like, I would tell my friends at home that I'd pick the Jets, but then on air I'd go with the Bills because I'm too much of a pussy
couch. I am the couch.
That's what he
does. I work at Walmart, and I have a WWF belt, and it is fantastic plastic, sir.
Josh, you have balls, just like this whole radio station does, minus the couch. Who do you got in this game?
I wanted to go with the Jets, and I wanted to go with, like, a Javon Curse breakout story where he got, like, three touchdowns, or, like, a Bilal Powell where he got three touchdowns, but I just can't. I have to go with the Bills here, and LeSean McCoy, he is just the guy for the Bills. They are going to use him and run him into the ground, and even if it is Peterman, doesn't matter. LeSean McCoy is going to be the guy in this game.
I'm actually pumped to see Zay Jones in this matchup. We've been kind of touting him, or I know I have, as the rookie wide receiver to own, the one guy who I think might be productive. I want to see him. This is one of the easier matchups he'll have in my eyes.
If it is Peterman, the coolest story with these two guys, him and Zay Jones, because they both went to the Senior Bowl, they both did all the practices, the whole time they were practicing with each other. They were getting highly talked up because they were throwing the ball to each other, or Peterman throwing it to Zay Jones. Zay Jones, his stock moving up with the combine. Peterman's stock moving up with the combine. They both get drafted together. How cool would it be if these two started week one?
That'd be cool.
That'd be outrageous.
It'd be a good story.
Doesn't happen very often.
It'd be fun.
Next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens versus the Cincinnati Bengals.
I am very intrigued with this matchup. You know, those AFC North matchups are normally tough. They're normally very physical football games. There's a lot of rookies that I'm intrigued with in this matchup as well. Baltimore added a lot of talent on the defensive side of the football. You got Joe Flacco supposed to come back and play. Most likely he will be playing week one, but hasn't seen much action at all in the preseason, so I could see him being rusty. I want to see Danny Woodhead in that offense. And my boy, Joe Mixon for the Bengals. I want to see what kind of workload he gets. But I think the Bengals have enough on the offensive side of the football to get it done. Big-time week one victory for the Bengals.
To me, this is the type of game that the Bengals lose. They're at home. They should be fairly dominant. They're facing a team that's question marks all over on the offensive line and the running side of the football. They still have all their pieces intact. They got a new toy in Joe Mixon. Everything points to the Cincinnati Bengals winning this game. But like you said, it's AFC North football. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind. The Baltimore Ravens additions on the defensive side of the football are going to be mean. They're probably going to get 4 or 5 personal foul penalties in this game. But it's going to be close, and this might come down to a field goal. And we all know that the Ravens have a fantastic kicker. So I'm going to take the Ravens again, back-to-back upsets for me.
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm really, really hoping that it is a very close game, and we are not going to see Hill do anything at all. And then after this week, Marvin Lewis is going to say, okay, Joe Mixon's our guy. And then the writing's on the wall, and I'll be very happy. But I really think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win. Everything else is just an added bonus.
Yeah, that's just you stroking Mixon, though, bro.
Just saying.
You love Joe Mixon.
We love him.
Yeah, you too do.
Next up, Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati. I just talked about him.
Wow.
Cleveland Browns. Sorry.
I'll start this one, Tom. I think this is a no-brainer. It's in Cleveland. They got some new toys that they'll show off. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kaiser go over 300 yards and have 2 to 3 touchdowns, but also have 2 to 3 interceptions, and the Pittsburgh Steelers roll. I know Big Ben has struggled at home at times, but with Cleveland's secondary being a little bit disheveled at the moment, I just don't like them. I feel like Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown are going to torch them. Le'Veon Bell is going to have a couple of big plays here and there, but is otherwise going to be held in check. And I have the Steelers dominating this game.
I have the Steelers winning as well. Most people will be picking them unless you're a diehard Browns fan. Well, Josh will probably be picking the Browns because he's crazy like that and always tries to get it an advantage. I really think this is going to be Martavis Bryant's coming out party. He's going to show the world that he is the best wide receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I have the Cleveland Browns. Oh, wait, I'm not the coach. I'm not going to pick something stupid. I am going with the Steelers, and pretty much everything you guys said, self-explanatory. Steelers are good. Browns are getting there. They drafted a lot and a lot of pieces, but they are just not there yet. The Steelers are a top-tier team. I just find it very hard to see the Cleveland Browns to come out week one, rookie quarterback such as Deshaun Kaiser, to upset the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just cannot see it. Yet.
I agree. Plus, it's one of, letdown games are always possible week one, but with it being division matchup, I just don't see the Steelers letting that happen.
Next up, we have the Arizona Cardinals versus the Detroit Lions.
Last year, to open the season, the Lions were involved in a shootout with the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Lions are going to be in a shootout again this year, week one, against the Arizona Cardinals. I have them winning this game, open up the season. Matthew Stafford just got paid. That team is healthy. That offense is going to be rolling on all cylinders. I think it's going to be a good matchup. Final score, 42-41. Detroit wins with a late Ameer Abdullah touchdown.
I agree it's going to be a shootout, Tom. I have no doubt in that, but I feel like Carson Palmer sees the writing on the wall, knows that this is kind of the swan song for him, swan song for Larry Fitzgerald. They have a stud running back. They have everything they need right now. I feel like Arizona goes into the Detroit week one and upsets the Detroit Lions, if you want to call it an upset. And, that's it.
I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions. Actually, Detroit is a underdog in this game as well. One of the home dogs. I think there's, 6 home dogs this week? I think that's what it is. The Detroit Lions, though, we saw what Marvin Jones and Golden Tate and what Matthew Stafford can all do together when they're on the same page. So I really think we might see the Marvin Jones of what we saw last year at the beginning of 2016. If Golden Tate continues on how he finished 2016, that is a deadly, deadly combo. And then you're throwing in an Ebron, a couple other tight ends to where they can block and Ebron can be on the outside. That's a deadly offense right there. It's going to give Ameer Abdullah some room to run.
I am shocked. We just talked about the Detroit Lions and Josh did not once mention Kenny Golladay.
I'm not a big fan of Kenny
Golladay. I don't know how that happened.
Not a big fan of him.
Normally you're bashing him.
Bashing him?
Yeah. You hate Kenny.
You hate him.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of him. I mean, he's tall. What else you want me to tell you? I don't know. Next up, we have the Raiders versus the Titans.
This is going to be a very intriguing matchup. This might be the game that I'm watching on noon come Sunday. I want to see how good this Tennessee Titans team really is. Everyone's talking them up right now. You got a fantastic offensive line, a good young quarterback, added some weapons around Marcus Mariota, but I cannot pick against the Oakland Raiders. Carr is coming back healthy. I think a big-time year for Murray Cooper, and I want to see what Marshawn Lynch looks like behind that awesome offensive line. This is going to be a very good football game.
Honestly, I think that the Raiders are gonna put the stamp on the Tennessee Titans. In all honesty, I think the Titans are a bit overrated. I know that they added some pieces. I know they have some things that they think that they can build on, and that might be the case. But this is closer to a 500 team, in my opinion. The Oakland Raiders are a complete team right now.
I am gonna go with the Oakland Raiders as well. And again, kind of like how you guys just said, I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to be that big of a factor. I think we're going to see Carr and company really do what they're going to set out to do. It's going to be very exciting to see that offense fully healthy, ready to roll. And especially the thing that sucks is the defense, because if you did not read, Tom, our boy Obi Melanfonwu got placed on the IR, possibly to return. Hasn't been designated yet, but I hope so. I want to see that kid out there. He's good. Khalil Mack is good. There's a lot of guys on that defense I want to see just tear it up. So I'm pretty excited to see that game. But yeah, I do have the Raiders in that game as well.
Next game, the game that might not happen, the Tampa Bay Bucs versus Miami Dolphins. If it does happen, I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hard Knocks, you know, I feel like they're everyone's darling right now. Everyone likes this team. A lot of good stories. Young quarterback, explosive offense, improving defense. Got to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on this one.
I'm going to go next, and Tampa Bay is going to destroy the Miami Dolphins if they play this week. They better play this week because Mike Evans is going to score 3 touchdowns.
They are not playing this week, but if they did play on Sunday, I also had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning this game in Miami. So we'll leave it at that. No need to go in further because it's probably not going to happen until week 11 and we can reassess then.
They better make this game work.
Yep. Josh, it's not going to happen.
They can make it work, though. That's the thing that I'm saying.
The only way at this point I see it happening is if it is Monday night offset and they have 3 Monday night games. That's the only way I can see it happening. And they have one on ESPN, and they have one on ABC. I don't even know what's on ABC on Monday nights in the fall. I'm assuming it's primetime, so I'm assuming it's going to be hard to happen. Listen, it is way too close to kickoff to say, hey, let's move it on Thursdays or Fridays. It's too close.
Let's go ahead and take our first break. We've gotten through half of the games, and then we'll finish up with the rest. And then when we come back after that, we'll talk a little bit fantasy football. Be right back.
Tired of ESPN, Bleacher Report, and every single website out there giving you the same information, the same exact opinions over and over and over? You need to check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com. CleatGeeks gives you everything from wrestling to football to MLB to MMA. They bring you every single thing you need to know as a sports fan. If you're tired of the everyday opinion, make sure you go check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com.
I have been searching and searching and searching for sports memorabilia over and over again, and I can't find a good place to basically find exactly what I need. Until just recently, PristineAuction.com, they have everything, MLB, NBA, they have autographs from players in all those leagues, pictures, jerseys, helmets, anything you can imagine. You can go on there right now and get a signed Antonio Brown jersey for $150. Framed. Signature. Everything. You can go on there and get some gloves signed by who? Mayweather and McGregor for $550. A little overpriced, but it is what it is. It's an auction. Go on there. Get what you need. PristineAuction.com. Check out their daily deals that they have going on. And, you know, be happy with some of the stuff that you buy. Again, we've been going to Pristine Auction the last couple of months now. We're extremely happy, so hit them up and see what you can get.
Pony Keg Sports, my name is Terry. I have no friends, and I just want to talk about fantasy football. What should I do? Well, Terry, you should go to DraftingSleepers.com. It's a growing community with smart individuals like us at Pony Keg Sports. We will answer your questions. And there's people talking about fantasy football 24/7. If you guys are like Terry and have no friends, go to DraftingSleepers.com. Join the community. I'm so tired of so-called prophets giving me terrible fantasy football advice.
I'm tired of these corn-fed cousin kissers on the four-letter network trying to steer my goddamn team into the wall.
And I'm tired of juiced-up, washed-up linebackers trying to pretend like they know fantasy football. Gentlemen, that is exactly why we created Pony Keg Sports, your number one place to go for fantasy football sports every Tuesday night on WBLZ. We got balls, baby. Woo!
If you guys did not know, we have a promotion going on right now. It is a free autographed Le'Veon Bell jersey for anybody that submits fantasy football questions via our Facebook at Pony Keg Sports, our Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, or our website, ponykegsports.com. All you got to do is go to the Contact Us button on the website and then submit your fantasy football questions. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Submit the questions. Give us your information, name, address, phone number, all that good stuff. So if you do win, we can go ahead and contact you and let you know that you won, and we can ship you out that jersey. Again, get in on the action in a free autographed Le'Veon Bell jersey. The drawing will take place week 8 of the NFL season. And then be ready, because we are going to have another jersey signed, of course, by another football player later on in the season, probably about week 15, week 16. Haven't decided yet, and we haven't decided on the player yet. So we will get to you on that. But if you want that Le'Veon Bell jersey, start submitting those questions. We'll get to them on air, and we'll make sure that your questions are answered. So do yourselves a favor, win that jersey.
All right, everybody, we are back from commercial. And again, like the commercial said, do yourself a favor, submit those questions, and win yourself a free autographed Le'Veon Bell jersey, because who does not want to win a free jersey to hang up in their man cave, right? Do you want a Le'Veon Bell jersey, Tim?
Mine's more of a man closet, but yeah, I love it. Let's hang it up on there. Can I enter?
No.
I've submitted like 100 questions, and Josh keeps denying them, saying I cannot win. So.
Yeah, Josh is kind of a dick. Kind of
just want to quit the show and get a free jersey.
Well, that's not nice either. We got things to do here. Let's go ahead and move on. We have the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Washington Redskins.
This is going to be an interesting matchup. Most thing that I'm intrigued about is Kirk Cousins' play with his new weapons. I want to see Terrell Pryor, see if Josh Doctson finally plays, see the increased role of Jameson Crowder, how Rob Kelly plays. But I'm going to go with Washington in this. I'm not a believer in Carson Wentz. I don't think he's the real deal, and I'm not a believer in the weapons that they have added and surrounded him with.
Carson Wentz has burnt me before. I have said going back to last year that I feel like he is a slightly better version of Joey Harrington.
Jesus.
That's how I see him. I do not think he's that good of a quarterback, in all honesty. With that being said, I like the Washington Redskins as well. It is going to be a pick 'em game come noon Central Time, the true time zone, Central. And I this is the game I hope to watch. I am very enthralled by this game.
Can we call the coach Joey Harrington from now on? You know, he's old, he's washed up, he's a has-been, a never-was. You know, it's kind of fitting.
Yeah, no, we could. I just prefer the couch, because it's very similar. Like, listen, he gets on his show in the morning. He comes in there. He's got food, cum in his beard, a bunch of things. Just like a lot of couches, they have food and cum inside of them. So it's very similar. I just like the couch.
Wow. Moving on, I have the Washington Redskins next game. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans.
Houston Texans are going to come into this game motivated. This is going to be a defensive struggle in my eyes. Both teams have rather shitty quarterbacks. But I'm going to go with the home Houston Texans team. J.J. Watt puts on a show and decapitates Blake Bortles.
I agree with you completely, actually. I have the Texans 100% dominating, especially after everything that happened in Houston. The Texans are going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that's going to prevent them doing anything is their quarterback play. But I expect them to come out full throttle and put a stamp on the Jaguars.
There is no way the Houston Texans lose this game to the Jacksonville Jaguars. No way at all. We're gonna see some good things from the quarterback play. As much as we don't think that it's gonna be great, we'll see some decent things. The only thing I'm worried about is how Lamar Miller is gonna do with no true backup going into the game. Alfred Blue may be out. Deonta Foreman is questionable. He may play, may not play a lot. So I'm very intrigued to see what Lamar Miller does do in this game as well.
If I watch this game, I will be watching Jalen Ramsey and DeAndre Hopkins go at it. Those two last year put on an awesome show. If you like football, like physical play, it's going to be the marquee matchup of this game in my eyes.
Next up, we have the Colts versus the Rams.
I really don't think the Colts are going to win this game. Scott Tolzien is starting. He is not a good quarterback. He's never won a real NFL football game, but he does have a tie. But I'm going to go with the Colts because I'm a homer and I'm not a believer in Jared Goff.
I am going with the Los Angeles Rams. They're going to come out there. Listen, there's no other time to catch the Colts than right now. Scott Tolzien? Are you kidding me? The Rams defense are just a year out from having a top 10 defense. They can be scary at times, whether Aaron Donald plays or not. If he does play, Scott Tolzien better be wearing extra padding because he is going to get murdered. I don't care how much Donald has played with the team in the preseason. Now is the time to beat the Colts. They're struggling. They're trying to put everything together. It's not going to happen. Week one, give me the LA Rams, baby.
Isn't that kind of weird to say the Colts are struggling? And it's not even week one yet. Like, it's week one, obviously, but week one's not even over. Hasn't even started. But that is absolutely crazy to be talking about. But
too many injuries.
Yeah, with that being said, I'm going to go with the Rams. No Andrew Luck. And with Scott Tolzien throwing the ball, we've talked about it off show, Tom. Where does that put T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief for fantasy football?
Both of them are definitely down a peg. T.Y. becomes a low-end number two for me, and Moncrief shouldn't even be startable in my eyes. But I think it moves up the running backs. I like Gore more this week than I would on a normal week. I think he's going to be successful, and I think they're going to lean on him, Marlon Mack, to carry this football team.
I agree with that, Tom. I agree completely. Let's go to the next game. The Green Bay Packers at home against the Seattle Seahawks. One of the games of the week, my opinion. I'm glad we should definitely have it on Fox here in the Midwest. And I am so excited about this game. I think it's going to be much closer than people give it credit for. But I do think the Green Bay Packers at home find a way to win. They've had their tiffs, I guess you could say, with the Seattle Seahawks. It always seems to be a good game between these two highly talented clubs. I got the Packers by a field goal.
And this is by far, for me, the game of the week. I'm excited to see the new Seattle Seahawks. You know, they made that trade for Sheldon Richardson from the Jets. They got all their players back healthy. Earl Thomas is playing. It'll be nice seeing that defense rolling on all cylinders, seeing what a healthy Russell Wilson looks like. He has torn up the NFL in this preseason. We'll see if that continues. We know the Green Bay Packers struggled last year stopping the pass, and they're going to get a heavy dosage of that. But I can't pick against Aaron Rodgers right now. He's hot. Well, he was hot last year, and it's hard to pick against him at Lambeau. Got to go with the Packers and Air Jordy. Big game for him.
It's crazy. I look at the Seattle Seahawks air game, the passing game, and the wide receivers, they have Doug Baldwin. They have Paul Richardson, Tyler Lockett. Who else do they have after that?
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham is a tight end.
Yeah.
Who else is a wide receiver? They cut Kasan Williams, who was the preseason darling. I believe he had 208 yards, I think two touchdowns, made some incredible catches, and he was on their practice squad, I believe, 2 years as an undrafted free agent, has stuck around, finally had a big preseason. They cut him. I thought that was crazy because they traded Curse to the Jets in that Richardson deal. So I thought for sure Williams was going to be making the team via special teams or, you know, contributing on the wide receiver. It's just crazy to think that they're going to have three wideouts that are really well known, I guess, and they have a bunch of running backs that can't stay healthy. Just nuts to think about with that team.
I agree.
But I'm going to go with the Packers. So, as much as I talked about them, Packers are the ones that I'm going to go with.
All right, fair enough.
Next up, Carolina Panthers, San Francisco 49ers.
The San Francisco 49ers have a tendency to come out pretty hot in week one. But with that being said, I feel like this is the Carolina Panthers' time to rebound. Cam Newton is going to be coming out with a chip on his shoulder after getting roughed up last year. They have a new weapon in Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. Obviously, Jonathan Stewart's still there. They still have Greg Olsen. Kelvin Benjamin playing with he came out today, I believe, saying that, you know, football is all he has left after the tragic passing of his mother. And then, obviously, you still have Devin Funchess, who is coming out a little underrated, I think, in the fantasy football aspect of it. Tom, I believe you got it in our personal league. So, yep. I like the Carolina Panthers a lot going to San Francisco, going cross-country. Not the easiest of things to do, but week one against a 49ers team that is not built to win right now, in my opinion. It'll be closer than it necessarily needs to be, but I still have the Panthers by a good 7 to 10 points.
Carolina Panthers last year struggled against Kyle Shanahan's vaunted offense, but this year they are facing a mirror image of that vaunted offense from last year. They're going to crush the 49ers. They're going cross-country. They're going to show off their new toys, and Devin Funchess emerges as the number one wideout for this team. Cam Newton, big-time game.
The number one?
Yes.
Wow.
Benjamin's going to break his leg or something.
Whoa. Oh. Whoa.
That's what I'm hoping.
Whoa.
For fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I'm hoping he breaks
his leg. Yeah, you selfish prick.
I'm going to go with the Panthers in this game, and I think Christian McCaffrey is going to put a huge stamp on this week one game and prove to fantasy owners on why he should have been the number one rookie running back drafted out of all the, I guess you could say, big five running backs.
So, yep.
But yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to put his foot down and let his presence be known. So Carolina for me in that game. Next up, we have the Giants, Dallas Cowboys.
Dak Prescott is 0-2 against the New York football Giants. That continues. He will go to 0-3. I understand Zeke Elliott will be playing in this game, but last season that did not make a difference. That New York Giants defense is extremely good. They are underrated right now. They can get after the quarterback, and I don't see Dak Prescott being as efficient against this New York Giants defense as he was last year. Giants win big.
So this is my game of the week. Last year, opening week for the Cowboys and the Giants, 2019, the Giants get the victory over the Cowboys. And I love these matchups week one, these big-time division games that could very well be the determining factor come the end of the year. I love when big-time value, big-time plays, Zeke is playing, it makes it that much better. I hope for my own purposes and for the game itself that OBJ plays as well. With that being said, I just don't like the Giants' offensive line. Eli Manning's going to be running for his life for a majority of the game. I have the Cowboys edging this one out, very similar to the way that the Giants did last year. I have it 21-20, Dallas Cowboys win.
So they have decided to let Elliott play week one because they said, you know what, OBJ may not be playing. We can't have two superstars not in this game. So conspiracy, I say. Conspiracy. And
conspiracy Josh.
That, I am going to say if OBJ does not play in this game, we will see a huge game out of Evan Engram. But I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to play, and I think OBJ will. And I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. But if OBJ doesn't, look out for Engram.
I think the guy to watch this week for fantasy purposes is Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall, especially if OBJ isn't playing, always his first year on a team, he blows up. He has a great year. And I know he's aging, but you can't really take away with how much success he's had.
Next up, we have the Saints versus the Vikings in a very, very weird game.
This will be it'll be very interesting. You know, Adrian Peterson has been the face of the Minnesota Vikings franchise for years. Now he's a New Orleans Saint. He's going back to Minnesota, going back to his original home. And I'm giving AP and the Saints the victory on this one. I think their defense has improved enough to help Drew Brees lead this team to victory and be a better football team overall.
Do you guys think AP is going to Minnesota a little early? And
to beat his kids?
And he's just walking around and just peeing all over the stadium.
Oh, you couldn't say peeing all over the stadium. I can't say beat his kids.
Yeah, that's not.
He's done that before. He's never been known to pee all over stadiums.
I'm just saying.
Listen, he's definitely going in with a chip on his shoulder. He's definitely one of the best running backs of all time. He's going in there. The quarterback is the difference here. Obviously, the Vikings have a fantastic secondary led by one Xavier Rhodes. I mean, absolutely dominant corner, shut down. Michael Thomas is probably going to have a long day ahead of him. But they have Adam Thielen as well, who's going to catch some balls. They have Mark Ingram and AP, who are going to try to stuff the ball up the middle. And they have Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, who I think is going to have a huge role in this game as well.
You say they have Thielen, you're thinking opposite team. Right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was speaking backwards. I'm sorry. But no, the Saints are set up here. Yeah, I did totally say that wrong. Michael Thomas is set up on the Saints, and then they have Willie Snead. I don't believe is playing in this game because of his suspension.
Three games.
They have Ted Ginn, who you guys mock. That's fine.
Great Ted.
But
Ginn,
he's going to be on the other side of the ball. He's going to get his looks, whether you believe it or not, and watch Alvin Kamara out of the backfield for the Saints. I have the Saints edging this one out.
Need a tight end to stream. Look at Fleener.
I have the Saints in this game. I just think that they're going to come out and, I don't want to say win this for Adrian Peterson, but I think it's going to be like a good start to the season. They already have a bad taste in their mouth with the suspension of Willie Snead. They need to do something to kind of say, we're ready to roll in this, this season here. So I'm looking for the Saints to not win big, but win regardless.
I'm interested on the over-under on this game because obviously the Vikings have some strengths on the offense, but with the lack of secondary on the Saints, even with the additions they made on the draft and how strong the Vikings defense is, it's going to be a very, like, normally in Saints games, you expect, you know, 40, 30 points on both sides. It may not be that way this year.
Yeah, it's funny. You could probably imagine the over-under being like 48, and then you can imagine the over-under being 37.5. Like,
I bet the over no matter what.
Yeah, that's like how big the difference is, like with that Vikings defense. Last game, we have the Chargers and the Broncos.
San Diego. Oh, wait, no. Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Chargers going into Denver. The last game of the week, and I just can't see. We talked about it earlier. Obviously, Melvin Gordon, we believe, is going to have a big game against that Broncos defense. That secondary is still big. How's Pip Rivers going to handle it? You know, has, obviously, Mike Williams, who's not going to play going into week one, but Tyrell Williams is there. Keenan Allen is now back. What's going to happen? I like the Denver Broncos at home, though. Give me the Denver Broncos all day. Give me C.J. Anderson showing that he can be the C.J. Anderson of old, regardless of them saying it's going to be a three-headed monster at running back. He's going to dominate those carries, and I will take the Broncos winning 24-21.
The Denver Broncos are a team that's reeling right now, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They just released a big-time leader in that secondary, T.J. Ward. Shane Ray is on IR. DeMarcus Ware is not there anymore. This defense is struggling, and Pip Rivers is going to have a special game on Monday night. He's going to end week one in dramatic fashion and drop 35 points on the so-called vaunted Denver Bronco defense, and John Elway is going to think about putting Brock Osweiler in after how terrible Trevor Siemian performs on the big stage. And by the way, guys, C.J. Anderson will have a bad game. 15 carries, 10 yards.
Wow! No, come on.
Yeah, you have the Chargers winning, I'm assuming?
Yes, big time.
Denver is a very good team. Offensive line-wise, not so bad. But they upgraded through the draft as well. They have a good defense. They don't have a great defense anymore, but it is very, very good still. Again, like Tim said, they did lose some pieces. Shane Ray, they lost TJ Ward. They cut him. There's a lot of other issues going on with that team. But I have the San Diego Chargers winning as well.
LA Chargers.
Whatever. LA Chargers. I have the Chargers winning as well. I am just a Chargers believer, I guess. And I really think that this game being the first game back for Keenan Allen, he's going to try to say, hey, rely on me, Phillip Rivers, throw me the ball.
Let's talk about we got a couple minutes here before the break. Again, TJ Ward, that whole situation. Obviously, he came out after saying it was essentially Bush League, how the Broncos handled everything. Do you agree with that? Do you think it's okay? What are your thoughts on some? I mean, obviously, a big part of that team, they wait till the very end to cut him. I mean, he still goes out. He still makes his money. But he probably could have gotten a better deal if they cut him originally. But he could have gone to a division rival, similar to Joe Hayden going to the Steelers.
Well, this is the issue with them changing the cut time to all at the same time, rather than there's a 90-man cut, a 75-man cut, 53-man cut. Now it's all at the same time. So that's their own fault. That's the Players Association right there.
Yeah, but don't you think that the Broncos probably still would have waited?
No, I don't think so. I think at that time then... Well, I think if they knew beforehand and somebody of his caliber and has been around the team for that long, you should have given him a hint. You should have said, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. But
They still could have.
Maybe it came down to the last couple preseason games, and they said, you know what? These kids that we have, I believe it's one rookie and one guy that's in his second year, and I feel like we can move on with them rather than paying you a boatload of money. Then you make your decision, split-second decision.
I'm interested to see how the Broncos veterans on that secondary react to, you know, sometimes there's a domino effect, you know, on the emotional side there, where some of the veterans on the defensive side of that secondary for the Broncos start kind of not laxing. You know, obviously it's still the NFL. You think they're still going to want to give their all, but there, you could see a domino effect in terms of how they play.
He should stop bitching. He's going to a state without an income tax, and I believe the salaries were extremely close, so he's technically making more money now.
Yeah, I think it's like $5.3 million, which I think equates to, after like with the taxes, he's making more than that.
It's a big difference going or playing in a state without an income tax. I understand leaving the team you've been with the last 3 or 4 years and guys you are close with, his dogs. And it does suck, but that's the NFL right now. It is, it's a business, in all honesty. And sometimes you just got to keep it 100.
This, damn it, Tom. This is exactly why the NFLPA said to fans and players alike, be prepared for a lockout in 2021. Because they know they had been had and during the last negotiations. They let things like this, things like Roger Goodell being judge, jury, and executioner, you know, go by the wayside. Not going to happen next time, and I'm scared for 2021, honestly.
All right, everybody, that's all we have for you today. Hope you guys enjoyed our predictions for week one of the NFL season. You know what? One thing that we did not talk about was our survivor picks of the week. Tom, do you have a survivor pick, or Tim? Do you have a survivor pick? Your mic's... I cut you already. Just tell me and I'll say it.
I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Tim is going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh as well.
And Tom is going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow, interesting. I am going to go... I really wanted to go with the Atlanta Falcons, but I am not feeling super comfortable with it, and I really don't want to waste a pick on the Falcons that early. So... I will probably go with the Steelers as well in this one. So, very original. I know. I may change it. I haven't decided yet. So, again, everybody, that's all we have for you. Hope you enjoyed. Again, do yourselves a favor. Check out our buddies, DraftingSleepers.com, PristineAuction.com, and also CleatGeeks.com. Until next time.